Hallelujah. Wow. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise and bless him this morning. Wow. Man, he is good, isn't he? Always, Aaron. Always, son. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand today and why don't you turn over to Romans 5:1. We're going to kind of go back through a few things this morning that we looked through last week a little bit just to get a good foundation. You know, God desires that we have a good foundation. If you're going to build something, you want a good, solid foundation. Amen? So, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go down through here in just a moment. Let's hold up our Bibles and let's say it like we mean it today. Come on, say it, Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody this morning and say, you know what? God loves me more than you. Would you do that? Amen. Hallelujah. He does. Praise the Lord. You know? Amen. It was John in the Bible said he knew that. He referred to himself, I am the disciple that Jesus loves. You know, I am the disciple that Jesus loved. And John means grace. So if your name is John this morning, you are just full of grace today. Amen? And he is so good. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace, shalom, nothing lacking, nothing broken. We have faith operating in our life through the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith came to us at some point in our life. We believe faith came to us, and then through that faith produces peace in our life that we have nothing lacking or nothing broken, because faith is the vehicle that all the blessings come through. All right, let's go down to the next verse. Amen. Through whom also we have access by faith. We have access by faith into grace. Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor operating in our lives. So we're walking in God's favor. We have God's favor in our lives. God's favor surrounds us like a shield. Amen. Everywhere we go, we expect God's favor in our lives. You need to be expecting good in your life. Expect good, get good. Expect bad, get bad. Amen? Expect good. You can expect good. Amen? We're going to see that in just a moment. Amen? We have access by faith into his grace. This grace provides everything that we need and pertains to life and godliness. And so we access that by our faith. Amen? And over in Hebrews 11:1, we're going to go back to this, but Hebrews 11:1 explains about faith and says, now faith is. Faith is always active in the present. Why? Because it's always there available for our needs. Our needs are in the present. It doesn't matter about yesterday. It matters about today. And so faith is always in the now. It's in the present. It's operating and functioning in our life through the word of God. We put our mouth on God's word, amen. And when we put our mouth on God's word, that faith is activated in our lives and grace, amen, is provided it. And so we take it and receive it by faith. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen? Now, faith is the substance. So faith is the foundation that we build on. We build on faith, not faith in ourselves, not even our own faith, but we have the faith of Jesus Christ operating in our life. Aren't you glad it's not your faith? Our faith can fail, but the Bible says even when we're faithless, God remains faithful. So you may say, well, I don't have a lot of faith this morning. You know, put your faith in his faith. Because when you put your faith and link up your faith with his faith, you have great faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we have this substance or foundation that we build our life on. You know, for 50 years, good night. That could almost sound old, but I refuse to receive that. Amen. Wow, man. Plus a lot more there. So, you know what? I'm telling you, Jesus will keep you young. Jesus will keep you young. Amen. God, I'm telling you, praying in the Spirit will keep you young. Amen. It will do more for you than any doctor could ever do. Hallelujah. When we pray in the Spirit, there is just something that happens that it ignites and refreshes our body, our soul. Amen. And so many things that we face in life come through our soul and because of wrong thinking. But when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying in God's will. And I want to tell you, it is such a refreshing. The Bible says, this is the refreshing that I give them. Amen. God wants you to be refreshed today. He wants you to be replenished today by His Spirit and by His grace. He is that good of a God. He wants to lavish His presence on you today. Woo! Amen. Anybody receive that this morning? I receive that today. Amen. Now, faith is the substance, the foundation. You know, we build our faith on. We build our dreams on this. Amen. Everything we have, we know we have through faith. And the substance of things hoped for. So faith is the present. Hope is the future. Faith is the present. Hope is the future. Hope is what we are expecting in our lives. And that hope in the Greek is a happy expectation of good. So if I've got an attitude of gratitude in my life, I've got a happy expectation of good wherever I go and wherever I am. That's why Paul said, whatever state I am, I've learned to be content. Someone was talking about the weather in Indiana this morning, said, oh, you know, winter's coming. Be content. Amen. I lived in Florida. I was content. Do I miss Florida at times in January and February? I have to say amen. But I've learned to be content. Amen. God is a good God. Wherever we are, you should have the S-O-N shining in your life every day. Faith is the substance thing hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5 here. And through whom we have access by faith into grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So let's go on down. Grace and favor working together in our lives. Praise God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing something that tribulations, persecutions, produce perseverance. It gives you the ability to hang in there when people are talking about you, when they're talking about your faith. Turn to somebody this morning and say, pardon me, your faith is showing. Would you do that? Amen. They will talk about you. When you're really living this life, people will talk about you. They'll talk in front of you sometimes, but most times they talk behind your back. And the enemy will talk about you. So you got to know where you stand and what you have. And when you go through these things, it's going to produce in you perseverance, the ability to hang in there. Like Kay was saying, let's go on to the next verse. Amen. And perseverance produces character. We need character. Amen. We need to have character operating in our lives. We need to know that we have this character in our lives. We're not a character. We have character in our lives. When no one else is around, that's what character is. What you do the same constantly and consistently, even when no one else is around. And character produces this hope, this expectation of good, because we know God's such a good God. Go on down to the next verse. Amen. Now, hope does not disappoint. Turn to somebody and say, hope doesn't disappoint me. I can hope in God every day, and I'll never be disappointed. Amen. I can believe a constant expectation of good from God, and I will never be disappointed because I know He's a good, good God. Amen. And the love, because why? Because, here's the whole thing. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has and who was given to us. So the love of God, I can have faith, hope, and love because it's been poured out into my heart. Listen, love is what we operate in that makes all this work. I'm just going to let that sink in a little bit. Love is what we operate in, what we walk in, that makes all this other stuff work. Because the Bible says, faith worketh by love. So God's love in us is what allows us to walk in this world in victory. It's the love of God and knowing that God loves you that gives you the assurance that faith is going to activate and bring it to pass so you have that constant faith and hope operating in your life. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this. Somebody turns to me and say, what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? She could dance. That girl could dance. I'm telling you, man. She could dance. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Some of you don't even know who I'm talking about. That was 50 years ago, so that's okay. Amen. And now abides faith, hope, and love. Didn't we just see that in Romans chapter 5? Faith, hope, and love. Didn't we see that? How many saw that in your word this morning? Did you see it? And now abides here in 1 Corinthians, the great love chapter, Paul writing the same text says, and now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of faith, the greatest of hope is not faith and hope. It's love. The greatest of these is this agape God love operating in our lives that gives us the power to overcome situations. Amen? It's God's love. Amen? Wow. The thing is, it's not about our love for God. That's what religion teaches you. Religion says it's about your love for God, and man, you got to work at it to get God to love you. Because if you don't work at it, then God really doesn't love you because you're not, you know. But it's not about that. It's about God's love for you. And when you understand God's love for you, then that love is activated to reach out and love others. And you can love others even when they're ugly towards you. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. You can love others even when they disagree with your theology. You can love others, even your cousin and aunt and uncle, all your family. You can even love that brother when God's love is operating in your life. The Bible says, listen to me, love covers a multitude of sins. My father-in-law used to joke about that scripture. You know, he had some girls, and I had three girls, and, you know, I love my girls. They're so awesome. But he would say, makeup covers a multitude of sins. I'll think about that a second, right? Or a pretty face covers a multitude of sins. I don't know, one of those two things. But listen, love is so powerful in our life. Amen? He loves us. It's knowing confidently that God loves me no matter what. Listen to 1 John 4:9-11. Hallelujah. We're just going to talk about this love for a few minutes this morning. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us. You know, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. When you understand the magnitude of that scripture, you will not find it hard to love people. Paul said, you know, I don't see anybody after the flesh any longer, but only after the Spirit. So many times we want to see people on a level and try to love them from what we're seeing on this level. And sometimes I'm telling you, people are really hard to love when you see them through the flesh. I mean, people do some ugly things. Even Christians, hello, are capable of doing some ugly things, especially religious Christians, right? So we see that going on. We see that happening. But the Bible says when we understand how much God loves us and what he did for us, it's easy to look past their faults and see their needs. It's easy to say they're having a bad day. It's easy to say, man, they were brought up weird. They had weird parents. Hello? Something going on in their life. Somebody dropped them as a baby. That's what happened. Amen. Something's going, I'm going to love them anyway in spite of their self. Even if they're going to be ugly to me, I'm going to still love them. You know why? You'll drive people crazy like that. They won't understand, like, wow, what's going on? Man, you know, they're trying to get to you. And the enemy, listen to me, the enemy will use good people to try to get to you. Oh, he's capable. And people are open to it. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now listen to this next verse. This is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. In this is love. Not that we loved God. Not that we loved God. I wasn't thinking about love God when God showed up in my life. I was thinking about all kinds of other things. But God's love showed up in my life, amen, and it was like, wow, and it was personified in my life, and it was the best thing I ever had in my life. And this is love, not that we love God, but that what? He loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the covering, the vicar, the one that took our place for our sins. Verse 11, amen. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, can't we all get along? Can't we all just get along? Amen. Man, you know the greatest thing this world needs is Christians showing people the love of God. Christians showing people the love, not in a judgmental spirit, not because they may be different than you are, have different belief than we do, but really we walk around showing and expressing God's love. We're going to talk about that. Amen. When you see his love, you effectively steward your gifts and talents. Do you realize that? Look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 15. Some of you are familiar with this, and I'm going to go through this a little bit, but I want you to see this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. His goods. Notice it's his goods. It's not our goods. Everything you've been given, it's been given through faith to you by grace, by his love operating in your life. It all belongs to him. Your car, your house, your dog. Some of you have cats. I pray for you. I pray for them cat lovers, man. Oh, Jesus. I think somebody told me the other day they have a cat that's 20 years old. That's like, are you? Wow, really? Wouldn't lasted that long in my house. Oh, that's all right. I love you, man. I love you, cat lovers. That's God's grace. Thank you, Jesus, operating in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. But everything you own really belongs to God. Do you realize that? Amen. Even your children, hopefully, you've come to the place to know they belong to God. You are a steward over your children. Raise your children in God's grace and love. Don't raise them in a harsh environment. Raise them in an environment of God's love and God's grace. You know, I really, as a parent and having three girls, it was like, wow, wow. If you got girls, you know the wow I'm talking about, right? So, wow. And I tell people all the time, I said, you know how you spell girls, right? And they said, well, how you spell girls? I said, simple, M-O-N-E-Y, money, right? So, but I remember when my daughters, when you know, something about girls, man, your dads get attached to these girls. You just love them. You care for them. You just, you know, just like, oh, man, they are awesome. Praise God. And then some, you know, dude shows up at your door and wants to take them away. Well, I'm glad the dudes that showed up at my door were awesome dudes. Amen. So thankful for that, Andrew. I love you, son. Phil, I love you if you're watching this morning. Amen. He is an awesome, awesome guy. And so we're so blessed. But I remember the day that, you know, the wedding took place and they moved out of my house. I will be honest with you. I had emotional problems for 6 months. I mourned. Amen. But I realized, you know what? They don't belong to me. They're yours, God, and we dedicated them to you when they were just a baby. Amen? They belong to God. So everything we have belongs to God. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Teach according to what? His own ability. And immediately he went on away with his journey. Well, the man represents the Lord. The servants really represent us, right? The talents refers to gold, silver, you know, your talents, your gifts, all those things. Amen. Out of the 3 servants, two of them reaped good results, but the last one did not. Look at Matthew 25:20. Matthew 25:20, just dropped down. So he who had received 5 talents came, brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside. Look at verse 22. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Lord, look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. So both of these were conscious of their talents and that they belong to God and not them. You see, many times we say we love things because we seemingly fall in love with things, but you need to understand that everything really belongs to God. When you know everything belongs to God and you're a steward of it, you don't have a possession on things. Amen. Things don't possess you. You possess them, and you're able to release them at any time. Oh, that is good. Because why? Because you know God loves you, and he's going to give you something better than even what you got now. Oh, that's good preaching. I'm glad all you're really enthusiastic about that. Amen? Man, it seems like whenever we give, God always gives back better. He's just that good of God. And because, why is that? Because I know and I'm sure that God loves me. Some of you are worried about, what am I going to do in my old age? How am I going to make it? What's going to happen in my life? Well, you don't really have a full understanding that God really loves you and he's going to take good care of you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Praise God. But you've got to get to that point. Look at this servant. I want you to kind of look at what was going on. Then let's go on down to the next verse. Amen. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Go on down. Amen. Hallelujah. Then the one who received the 1 talent said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man. Lord, I know you are a hard man. You hear what he said? Lord, I know you are a hard man. Wow. The word hard there in the Greek means harsh, violent, and stern. That was his perspective of God. His perspective of God was harsh, violent, and stern. And that's been many people's perspective over the years. I used to think that God was a harsh, violent God. And it's very, very stern. And he said, I knew you had to be hard, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Next verse, amen. And he didn't really understand God and the goodness of God. He did not really understand God's nature and God's love for him. And because of that, he was in fear. But the Bible says, listen to me, oh man, the Bible tells us that when you experience God's love, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Fear and God's love cannot stay in the same place. The Bible tells us that perfect love casteth out all fear. So when you know the perfect love that God has for you, you will never have to be afraid of your future any longer. When you know that God's not a harsh, demanding God, that he's a very loving Father, you know that God's love for you is awesome and great. You will be overcoming every situation in your life. Amen. So see his love for you. Amen. And when you see his love for you, it eradicates every fear in your life. Woo. You got to see it. If you don't see it, ask for a revelation of it. Say, Lord, thank you for that love in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Fear came in because of a wrong belief in God. That's where fear comes in. Amen? The servant said, "And I was afraid." He had a wrong concept, a wrong understanding of God. Amen? Your fears may not be related to God. They could be fears of many, many things. Amen? But when you know God's love, amen, that's going to cast out that fear. Listen to me. The mother of all fears is a wrong opinion of God. You need to write that down somewhere. That's a nugget, man. The mother of all fears is a wrong opinion of God. Wow, I was in some of them churches that had a wrong opinion of God. Glad I'm not there today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I have a good understanding and a good opinion of God, and that God loves me. Amen. There are people that say the world needs a dose of the fear of God, but actually the fear of God is defined as the worship of God. Do you realize that? Look over this morning, if you will, for just a moment, to Proverbs 10:27. Proverbs 10:27. Look at this. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be what? Shortened. Look over, if you will, to Luke chapter 4 and verse 8. Luke chapter 4, verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Now I want you to go back over. I want you to go to Deuteronomy 6:13. Look at Deuteronomy 6:13. Find it there with me. If you can find it, write it down. I want you to go there. "You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name." Now listen to me. What Jesus quoted to the enemy was this verse of Scripture. This was the verse of Scripture that he quoted to the enemy in Luke 4:8. Go back to Luke 4:8. Luke 4:8. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship." When Jesus came, the total perspective of God changed because of Jesus. And what he said, instead of fear, we worship God. Amen. Instead of fearing God, we have the privilege of worshiping God. Amen. And when we begin to understand this and worship God, that worship is going to prolong your days on earth. That's what the Bible said. I just quoted it, amen, out of Proverbs 10:27. That worship is going to prolong your days. The worship of the Lord prolongs your days. Wow. Amen. Why? Because you know God loves you so much, and you're free to worship him from no condemnation in your life. Man, that is powerful, Jesus. Amen. So Jesus came to reveal that love to us. How we see God affects everything in our life, including our stewardship. He was afraid. The steward was afraid. He ran and hid or said to God, "I am afraid." But God's love cast out that fear. Jesus came to reveal that love to us. Amen. John 14:9. Look what he says. John 14:9. Let me give you just a few more scriptures this morning. I want you to get this in your spirit. John 14:9. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?" Jesus came to reveal the Father. In the Old Testament, God was blessing, forgiving, pardoning, healing, and providing for his people, but from a distance. From a distance. God provided food for the children of Israel by sending manna. God forgave their sins, but the children of Israel had to go through a ritual in order to be forgiven. God healed the lepers, but they had to go through an elaborate ritual to receive healing. But when Jesus came, he did the same acts of grace and love, but this time it was personal. It was right with the people. Jesus fed 5,000 people in the midst of the people. Amen. Jesus forgave people their sins, and he did. So standing right next to them or by their sides, he said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus healed, and he healed by moving around in the crowd, healing everyone that was possessed of the devil and doing good, for God was with him. You know, in the Old Testament, if you have that concept, he's an impersonal God. But in the New Covenant, our God is a personal God, and he's right here with us. And he said, I will never, ever, ever, ever leave or forsake you. Even in your mess, God loves you, and he's right there. The psalmist said, even if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. God is with you even in your hell. He's right there with you, and he loves you today. Amen. And that love is expressed through him sending his son to you. Amen. And all of heaven's resources are attracted to your need today. You hear what I said? All of heaven's resources are attracted to your need. Grace is always attracted to need. If you don't have any need, then you don't have a whole lot of grace. But if you have some needs going on in your life, I'm going to tell you, grace is attracted to your need this morning. Your need is the very thing he responds to, just like the positives are attracted to negatives. Your need attracts God's grace in your life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. The woman who had the issue of blood, she came to Jesus and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Her need was fulfilled because she had a need and only Jesus could fulfill it. And grace pours in to every need in your life. Paul said, that's why he said, when I am weak, I am strong. It's not I, but grace in my life. Amen. He gives grace to us. Praise God. Grace is attracted to us this morning. His supply, in fact, listen to me, his supply is greater than your need. His supply is greater than your need. I won't have the time to go there, but you can read it later over in 2 Kings chapter 4. You remember the widow? The widow who had only two sons, and she was so poor, they were going to come and get her son. And the prophet came to her and said, what do I have to do for you? What do I need to do for you? And she said, hey, they're going to come get my sons. And he said, listen, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and borrow some vessels. And don't just get a few, get a lot. And so she went to all of her neighbors. Now, at that time, there was a famine, and everything was going on in the land, so a lot of them had empty vessels. It's the empty vessel, the need that God fills. It's that need that God fills in your life. Whatever need you might have this morning, grace is able to fill it. And he told her, begin to pour. What do you have in your house? And she said, I've got a little jar, a little oil. And she said, that's awesome. Whatever you've got in your house, God will use it to meet your need. Man, praise God. And Elisha said, hey, begin to pour. And she began to pour and pour and pour. And the Bible says it filled it up. Everyone was full. Every vessel she brought in was full. You see, God doesn't want you leaving empty today. God wants you leaving full today. Hallelujah. With your needs met. Why? Because God loves you by his grace. And everyone was full. And he says, she said, hey, I have no more. And when she had no more, it stopped. I don't know about you, but I'm always in need. Amen. I'm always saying, Lord, I want more of your goodness in my life. Lord, I want more of your love in my life. God, I want to experience everything you have for me. Amen. Lord, give me my daily bread. Hallelujah. Lord, fill me with your love every day. God, thank you for that. I know it's already there, but I just stand in need. Amen. Why? Because I know there is my point of need in my need. For Jesus meets it every time. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, give him some praise this morning. Give him some praise today. Amen. Hallelujah. He is a good God. See, receive his love this morning and receive whatever needs you have today. Because God is just pouring it out this morning. It's already here with us. It's already been provided for. And the only thing we do is just receive it into our life. And we thank him for that love. We thank him for that power. And we thank him for that healing today. Would you raise your hands this morning? No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through this past week, month, year, I want to declare to you this morning, God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. He cares about you today, and every single thing in your life has already been forgiven. So you can rejoice, hallelujah, knowing that God is at the point of your need today. Amen. And he wants to fill it. He wants to lavish his grace in that area. Praise God. No matter what it is, God is there to bring healing, hope, and love to your heart this morning. And we give him praise. Say with Pastor this morning, thank you, Jesus. I'll say it out loud. Thank you, Jesus. You are the fulfiller of every need in my life. I lack nothing today because of your love. I do not fear, but I walk in faith, overcoming faith today. Thank you, Lord. You have my family today. You have my finances today. You have my health today. And I receive everything from you. I receive good relationships, financial blessings, health in my body today, healing in my body today. Thank you, Lord. Wherever my need is, you are there, Lord, at the point of my need. Grace meets me at the point of my need today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give him some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just worship you this morning and thank you for your spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us today. Thank you, God, you're meeting every need in this place, in this house, already taken care of by your grace. We just receive it today. We bless the name of the Lord. God, we bless your people today. We call them blessed as they go in and blessed as they go out. In the name of Jesus Christ, we said amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a high five virtually and say, God is a good God. Would you do that? Amen.